Okay, so we are continuing our series of honoring one's parents, and we discussed honoring in-laws, and now we're going to discuss honoring grandparents. So just a few questions to think about before we go through the sources. What would the din be in terms of, let's say, the grandfather is a Russia. Let's say the grandfather is a Russia. Is there still an Indian of Kavod for the grandfather is a Russia? Or is there a distinction between a paternal grandparent versus a maternal grandparent? Or what if the, let's say your person's father dies, but the grandfather is still alive? These are types of questions which are very relevant, which we could go through in this sugya. So if you take a look at the first Mar Malkum, the din of honoring a grandparent is not mentioned anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, though the Ramah mentions it. The Shulchan Aruch does not make any mention of it. I'm not sure if that means that for the Sfardim there is no inin of kibud zakana, honoring a grandparent. But the Ramah brings down as follows. He says, Yesh omrim de'ein adam chai b'chavod avi aviv. He quotes in Maharik, one of the Rishonim, that there is no requirement to honor a grandfather. And the Ramah comments, ve'eino nearly, this does not appear correct to me. El dechai b'chavod aviv yoser mi'chavod avi aviv. The Ramah argues and says that, of course there's a requirement to honor a grandparent. It's just that it's not as great as a requirement as it is to honor one's parent. But eina chanami, there's a chiv to honor a grandparent. So there's a very clear machlokas here in the Ramah, whether or not there's a requirement to honor one's grandparents. Let's go through some of the sources and see whether or not that's true, and then we'll talk about different applications of honoring a grandparent. So first the Taz says, the Taz writes in number 2, Kain Perish Rashi, it's a Mefurish Rashi in Chumash, we'll see the Rashi in just a moment, Al Vayizbach Zvachim Lokei Aviv Yitzchak, we'll see that pasuk shortly, that there is a requirement to honor a grandparent. And the Taz comments, V'tema Al Dei Rishona, it's very strange that the first opinion in the Ramah, which is the Marik, Dinela Mimenu Perish Rashi, he forgot the Perish Rashi. It's a clear Rashi in Chumash, we'll see, that clearly writes that there's a requirement to honor a grandparent. How could the Marik not know a Mefurish Rashi al Torah? It's as basic as can be. So he leaves off as a Tarachini. He doesn't know how he doesn't know this. So what's his Rashi? So Rashi writes in Parshas Vayigash, Vayisa Yisrael v'chol asher lo. Yaakov Avinu was traveling along with everything he owned. Vayavo Be'er Sheva, he got to Be'er Sheva. And he brought karbanos to the God of his father Yitzchak. What about Elkei Avram? Why does the Dafka say Elkei Aviv Yitzchak? It should say Elkei Aviv Yitzchak for Elkei Avram. Why did he forget Avram? So Rashi writes in number 4, Elkei Aviv Yitzchak, Chayv Adam Mechavod Aviv, Yosemi Chvodo Zekano. There's a requirement to honor one's father more than to honor one's grandfather. And lefikach, therefore, talab b'Yitzchak v'lo b'Avram. Therefore, he was depending on his father Yitzchak, but not to Avram. What he's saying here is, yes, there's a requirement to honor a grandfather. But if you have to choose one, you should opt for your father, and not opt for your grandfather. So this is a clear Rashi ala Torah that says there's a requirement to honor a grandfather. So look what the Gilyon Marsha writes. The Gilyon Marsha is one of the Mefarshim on the side of Shulchan Aruch. And he writes in number 5 here. He quotes this Taz, who's not sure why, how did the Marik forget the Rashi? It's a clear Rashi. He forgot Rashi al Torah? He says, Lanias Daiti, the end of the line here, Zeb Bechlal Ein Lemedim Mer Medrash. There's a Yerushalmi that says we can't learn from Medrash. We have two basic types of Gemaras, types of Medrashim. There's Medrash Halacha, and there's Medrash Agada. In the Gemara, we have Agadata, and we have Gemaras that are Halacha. So there's a klal that we don't learn from stories. We don't learn from Agadata. We don't learn from Perushim al Torah. And that's why you can't learn from Rashi. Yes, you knew the Rashi. You know Rashi that why he was bringing the Karbanos little K Aviv Yitzchak velo little K Avram. The Medrash says because you have to honor your grandfather more than your grandfather. That's not a halachic statement. It sounds like it's a halachic statement. But this is based on stories in the Pesukim. We don't learn based on Medrash. We don't learn based on Agadata. I remember when I was in Rav Schechter's Kolel, so we'd be tested every 10 blot. We had Bechina in every 10 blot. And usually there was some Agadata along those 10 blot. And almost always we would ask a halachic question on the Agadata. So I remember one, for instance, at the end of one of the Prakim in Sanhedrin, we were talking, as Gemara was talking about Maisa, how the Talmidim went to visit Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was already a menuda. He was placed in excommunication for the fight he had with Rabbi Yeshua. And the Gemara describes how he took off his tefillin, and the Talmidim came to ask him questions, and it was just a very, okay, that was a ma'isa. So Rav Shechta asked the question, so where do we learn from this Gemara that one who's a menuda is allowed to wear tefillin? Because there's a Gemara in Moed Katan. Now, if you didn't know the Gemara Moed Katan, which I didn't, that has a suffix, can a menuda, can a person who's in nidoy, who's in excommunication, can he wear tefillin or can he not wear tefillin? So Gemara doesn't have an answer. But if you knew this Gemara in Sanhedrin, so Tosafot says the Gemara in Sanhedrin is a raya that you, a menuda, can wear tefillin. But it's a Tosafot Moed Katan. So we didn't know that. We were learning Sanhedrin. We were learning Moed Katan. So not many got the answer right. But he was always trying to prove, even from Agata, even from stories, there's what to learn Api Halacha.
No, that's because he connected it to something else.
But there's a klal. There's a klal that we don't learn Ein Lemeidim Mea Medrash. That's a concept. So it depends what type of story it is and what type of halachas are being discussed. But there's a klal we don't learn from Agata. We don't learn from stories.
He quoted the other Gemara, right? That's where he got it from. They went yeah. together. Alone, he didn't take it.
Right, yeah. So it happens here. So Gimel Marsha says, we don't learn from this Rashi because the Rashi is, it's a Medrash. We don't learn Halacha from Medrash. But the Gimel Marsha says further, the reason why we don't hold like the Rashi ala Torah, that there's a mitzvah to honor grandparents, is because there are other Rashis on Gemara, on Halacha, that say not to honor a grandparent. And he goes on to bring the proofs, and we'll go through those proofs together. He says, Kiven de lehepech isa b'Rashi, we find the opposite by Rashi, the halacha, in the world of halacha, in the second parak of Makos, Daf Yud Beis, we'll see that story, and there's a Gemara in Sota, which we'll see in a second, proves otherwise that there is no mitzvah to honor a grandparent.
Now, what does Rashi say, Yeser, if there's no mitzvah?
Once
we prove that there is no mitzvah, what is Rashi saying that it's Yeser? The Medrash is weaker than Mefurash Gemara.
He's just getting shot here. It's just he's describing what Yaakov was going through, that, but not to say that there's a halachic requirement of honoring the grandfather. He just chose Elkei Yitzchak and he stopped there. Or it's Rashi just quoting a Medrash. Rashi quotes Medrashim all the time. It's just not how he passed in the halacha. No, that's different. That's a different type of thing. There's a gata, there's perishim of psukim, and they're just stam stories, and then there's stories that are halachic stories. So the story in the Gemara Sanhedrin I was describing was just a stam story about the Talmid went to visit. Happened to be, incidentally, he was wearing tefillin. So you have to figure out what's considered a gata, what's considered halacha. So it's not any time there's a story we just throw it off as if it's not halacha. Of course, there are many halachas to be learned within the stories themselves. But sometimes that's you have a strange agata where there's a seven-headed monster and then Abai bowed down seven times and knock off each head. So you can learn a halacha there. You should wrap your tefillin seven times around your arm, let's say. I don't know. So like that's not a story that we'll learn halacha from. So you have to define what's considered agata, what's considered halacha. But sometimes the two of them certainly fuse together. So it's possible that this Rashi al-Torah won't even be agata. Maybe this is a halachic statement. Who knows? So it's unclear how to create these categories. The categories exist. But how to file along the different stories is, I guess, perhaps debatable. So let's take a look at the Gemara Makos Dav Yud Beis Amud Aleph number 6. The Gemara says, Tani Cha, the one brisa tells us that an Av Shaharag, a father that kills Beno, Naselo Gol Hadam. If his father kills a son, so now the father is a Rotzeach. So the other son he has is a Gol Hadam, takes revenge against his own father. Because the way it works is, the one who's murdered, his closest relative has to defend him, avenge his blood. So, now let's say Reuven was killed, Yaakov killed Reuven. So now Shimon, the brother, has to be the Gol Dam against his own father, Yaakov. So there's a din that he's the Gol Dam against his father. But yet, there's another braisa that says, Tani Idach, Ein Beno Nase Lo Gol Hadam. The son does not become a Gol Hadam for his father. So there's a machlokas. Can you be a Gol Dam for your father or not? So the Gemara's first approach is, Lema HaRabbi Yosef Glili HaRabbi Kiva. Maybe the machlokas is a machlokas in general. The level of requirement for a Gol Hadam, a person who's avenging the blood of a relative, is there mitzvah? Or it's reshus. He's allowed to, but we don't encourage him. So maybe that's machlokas. If it's a mitzvah, you should go seek out the mitzvah, so then you should go after your own father, Yaakov Avinu, or Yaakov. If you're just, it's a reshus, so we say if it's a reshus, don't be a Gol Hadam against your father. That's the initial approach. But the Gemara says, "V'tizvara." Does that make sense? Bein leman damer mitzvah, bein leman damer reshus mishari. Would you ever think it's permitted to be a gol hadam against your father, Even if it's a mitzvah, you can't be a gal dam against your father. Why? V'homer rabba bar bar Rav Huna. V'chein tana debei Rav Yishmol. Chol ein ha-ben nasa shliach l'aviv l'akoso u'klolaso. A ben, a son, he cannot be a shliach bezdin. He can't work for the bezdin if his father is the defendant. If the father turns out to be guilty of malchus, the son can't give malchus to the father. He can't kill the father, even if he deserves death penalty. The son can't do this to the father, with one exception: chus mi mesis. Mesis is a person who tries missionizing people to do avodah zarah. That's the one exception the son could attack the father. Outside of that, even if there's a mitzvah to give malchus, the son can't do it to the father. So how could you say that the son's a gal adam to the father ever? So the Gemara says, Shari Amru Torah, it says by the mesis, lo sachmov lo sechas alav. Ella, what's the machlokas whether the son could be a gal adam or not to the father? Halokashia, habivno, habibenvino. A son, Reuven, could be a gal adam, rather, Reuven cannot be a gal adam for Yaakov. But Chanoch, the son of Reuven, can be a goldam for the grandfather, Yaakov. That's allowed. A grandfather. You could be a goldam against the grandfather. So the case is, Yaakov killed Reuven. Reuven's son, Chanoch, is a goldam for his father, Reuven. So he could go against his grandfather, Yaakov. But to go Reuven versus Yaakov, that's not allowed. But a grandson to a grandfather can be a goldam. So look what Rashi writes here. Rashi writes, number 7, Ela lokashe habivno habivembino. Hold the Tanya, that which it says in the Brisa, Ein beno nasa gol hadam bivno, sherotzeya kamar, when the son can't be a gol hadam, that's when it's talking about a real son to a real father. But hold the Tanya, beno nasa lo gol hadam, that which we allow a son to be a gol hadam to the father, bivno shel harug, the son of the murdered, Reuven, who was killed, Reuven's son, can be the gol hadam for the grandfather. Shu ben beno sherotzeach, the grandson of the retzeach, Ve'eno muzar al kvodo. The grandson is not required to honor the grandfather. This is the Rashi that Gilead Marasha says goes against the Rashi ala Torah. So if we were to favor, which Rashi? Rashi on a pasuk in a storyline in the Torah versus Rashi on a halachic statement in the Gemara, we're going to opt for the Rashi in the halachic statement that eino muzar al kvodo. And there is no requirement to honor a grandfather according to this Rashi.
Out of the Gemara itself, you don't have a raya that you don't honor your grandparents because we're single inyan halach of gol hadam. You know, then we say as well inyan the kol. There still could be a kol to honor the grandfather. Just from Rashi says in muzar al kavodo, right? We see from Rashi itself the problem.
Yeah, the Gemara itself, it might be by when it comes to murder. So then this case is an exception. Right. Rashi goes out of the way to say in muzar al kavodo. Now, the truth is, Rashi could be saying this maybe only in this particular case where the grandfather's a Rasha. But perhaps in a regular case where he's a Tzaddik, there might be a... So there's not a clear ride from this Rashi either. Take a look at this next Gemara, which is also brought as a source. Number 8. Gemara in Sota, Daf Memtes Amun Aleph. Rav Huna Ashkach Tumrasa de Chenunisa, which means that Rav Huna came across a very juicy, plush date. And Shakla Karcha Besudra, he took it and wrapped it in a handkerchief. He was hiding it. He was taking it home to eat. Also, Rabba Bray, Rav Huna's son, whose name was Rabba, saw his father like hiding something. Amrlei, Murchini Recha de Chinusa, I smell something juicy. You're hiding something from me. So you have to know the context of the Gemara here is talking about how with the Churban Beis Hamikdash, certain the smell of the fruits were taken. Perus Genusa, we're talking about today, Kenusa in the Gemara Daf Yomi. The Gemara there talks about Sota, how the sweetness and the taste and the smell were taken from these fruit when the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So he smelled something. He smelled the date, even though it was wrapped very nicely, hidden well, he smelled it. He said, what are you hiding? I smell something juicy, Tati. Amrlei, Bini, Tahara Yeshbecha, you're very Tahar. Because even though with the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the standard person can't smell the fruits, people with a very pure neshama have a very heightened sense of smell, and you must be a Tahara. Yehav Nehale, I'm going to give this fruit to you. You earned it. You earned it. So Rav Huna gives it to his son Rabba. Adahachi, afterwards, also Abba Bray. Now Abba, who's Rabba's son, so it's Rav Huna's grandson. The grandson comes into the picture. And Shakle, Yehav Nehale. So Rabba, who just earned this fruit from his father, gave it to his son, to the grandson in the picture now. So Rav Huna was a little insulted by this. The grandfather was insulted. Amar Le, Bini, my son Rabba, Simachtes libi, you made me so happy that you have this, you know, incredible scent of smell. I gave you a matana. V'hikisa eshina, you knock out my teeth, you give it to your son? So, haynu damrinche, this is the adage that says, rachme d'abba abni, a father has rachmanis on his own son, but rachme d'abni, but the son's rachmanis is not on the father, it's abni d'havli, it's on his own son. So if the son is choosing between his father and his son, he's going to opt for the love for his son, not to his own father. So we see this as a strange relationship what's going on here. And why wasn't Rav Huna excited about his grandson getting it? Shouldn't he be happy that his grandson got the fruit? So the Gemara ends there. But then it goes into a interesting two-line story here. Rav Acha bar Yaakov itbel bei Rav Yaakov bar Barte. Rav Acha was being osek, playing, hanging out with his grandson, the son of his daughter. Okay, that's his grandson. Rav Acha was being metapel by Rav Yaakov, who was the bar Barte, the son of his daughter. So the grandson. So Kigadal, he raised him. He raised his grandson. So listen to this chutzpah. So the grandfather who raises the grandson, the grandfather, Rav Acha, says, Ashkin Maya, please bring me some water. So Amalei, la brecha, I'm not your son. So v'hayu dami inche, people say, Rabbi, you may have raised me, but bar batachana, I'm your grandson, so leave me alone. So we see from here, this Gemara, it sounds like there's no, nothing's changed. But it sounds like they're bringing this as a halachic application here. Then when it comes to the grandson, there is no requirement to honor the grandfather. Now, we wouldn't recommend being mezalza, the grandson, but from a halachic standpoint, it sounds like from this Gemara, there is no requirement. Look what the Maharsha writes on this. Maharsha says, number 9, Amarle Ashkimaya, give me some water. Amarle La Brechan, I'm not your son. The Afagav, even though we know in general, Bnei Banim Hareim Kabanim, that grandchildren, the Gemara Nivamo says that when it comes to Puruvu, when a person's having children, we need to have a boy and a girl. So a person's grandchildren qualify as children themselves. There's a din, we'll speak just a few moments off the page, that the mitzvah Mediraisa Puruvu is having a son and a daughter. Let's say the son and daughter each have a son and another daughter. So now there's a grandson and a granddaughter. The halacha is that a person needs to leave this world with a son and daughter left behind. Let's say, lo aleinu, a person's son and daughter die, but it's a grandson and a granddaughter that are alive from them. So he dies at 120, let's say. So even though the son and daughter are no longer alive, they died at, 100. So now, but the grandson and granddaughter are still alive, so he fulfilled the mitzvah, leaving the world in such a way. Because the Gemara says, Bnei Banim, Harei Heim Kebanim. Grandchildren like children themselves. So we have that concept. So how come this concept, he says, I'm not your son, leave me alone, don't ask me. So Marsha says, Afagav the Bnei Banim, Harei Heim Kebanim. Normally grandchildren are like children themselves. V'afilu bro lebarta, even the son of a daughter. Kedamina beperk, hava yivamto. Hainu leinin mitzvah peruvu. That's a unique case by peruvu. What's peruvu's purpose? Because Hainu Taima, Mishum Lashavas Yatra. The goal of Purvu is to procreate. You left behind descendants. You fulfilled your mitzvah. When it comes to Vahaika, you've accomplished that with grandchildren. Aval Inin Kavod, Kibud Av, Hainu Kabanim. Your grandchildren are not like your children themselves. They don't have to honor you. That's what comes out from this Gemara, according to the Maharsha.
How do we know he did right?
Because Rav Yaakov, Rav Yaakov was a Chashav Amora. So,
No, the grandson was
Chashev
also?
Yeah. His name is Rav Yaakov. He got a Rav in front. Not every rabbi is a good guy. Rav Yaakov was a good guy. So any Amora in the Gemara that has the title Rav or Rebbe, we have to assume he was a Chashev person. I don't know other stories about him right now, but Rav Yaakov's response was that, I'm not your son. Now, again, maybe he didn't say it like in such a way. Maybe he was busy playing soccer, or he was busy learning, or whatever. He's involved in something else. Maybe he didn't do it as disrespectful as it's coming across. Or maybe just talking about a halachic statement, they're having a conversation. He wasn't being disrespectful, but I don't have to, but I will anyways. If we don't have that, I will. But that's what comes out from the Gemara in Sota and the Gemara in Makos. Now, there's a Beis Lechem Yehuda, which is another parish on the side of Shulchan Aruch. And he writes that he quotes from an opinion, he quotes from the Bach actually, that we haven't discussed this yet, the financial obligation a son has for the parents. But there is an obligation that if, let's say, the parents don't have any money and the children do, we force the children to support the parents. That's a din in Shulchan Aruch. Now, what happens if the children don't have the means, but the grandchildren have means to support the grandparents? Is there a requirement?
Is it sons and daughters have the same obligation or just sons?
The sons and daughters are tricky when they're married. We'll have to get to that point. So he says, for the Bach writes, if the father has nothing, and the ben has, the grandchildren have means, we force the grandchild to support the grandfather. Because the understanding is that he thinks, the Bach felt, that the grandchildren have the same obligation to honor as the children. The Beis Lachem Yehuda brings a raya that that's not the case. It can't be. Because there's a Rambam that writes, if a person, we know the din, if a person curses a father, chas v'shalom, there's a chiv misa. Person hits a father, and he draws blood, he's chayv misa. The Rambam writes, if a grandchild curses a grandfather, it's no different than cursing some other guy in the street. It's not like cursing your own father. So once we see that there's a chilik between a grandfather and father in terms of cursing, the Beis Lachem Yehuda says, you have no obligation to support the grandfather either. That being said, now, we have to understand there's halacha, and there's derech eretz, is what's correct. Now, just for example, someone had asked me a shayla on the women's chat about, can she take a picture of a recipe and send it out in a WhatsApp group? And it becomes a question of intellectual property and whether or not intellectual property has ownership or not ownership. So my response was, even though halakhically it's debatable whether or not that's true, there's a ownership, to intellectual ownership to recipe or not, the right thing to do is to say, I found a great recipe in this cookbook on this, brownies, I think you should buy it. But to send out the recipe and have 500 people see it and not buy the recipe book, that would be the cookbook, that would be, I think, incorrect. It wouldn't be the proper derech eretz. So there's sometimes halacha and there's sometimes what's proper derech eretz.
You could just give credit to the person that...
You give credit, but then they lose all the money. He's trying to make money on the book. So now, so I only want one recipe. All right, this lady worked hard, and you appreciate even one. If I find a sefer, like one chiddush in a sefer, I'll try, not to say I'm great, but I'll try to buy that entire sefer. I can't buy half the sefer. But I'll buy the sefer because I appreciate that I got a chiddush from that and support that person for the $20 it costs, and then hopefully I'll find other chiddushim there. But I don't have to. She doesn't have to, but I think the right thing is to help sell the books.
Back to the Beis Lachem Yehuda, why didn't he bring a raya from the Goel Adam case?
He may bring another raya because that was already brought by other achronim. He wanted to bring a different raya maybe just to add to the list. He's a Russian, right, we said. So maybe it could be that's why, yeah. It could be that's the reason why. But so just to finish, Beis Lachem Yehuda says, but even though there may not be a halachic requirement to support the grandfather, in the end of the day, Bizman Hazeh, Lefnim Rishus Hadim, we would be Mechai of the grandchild if he has the means to support the grandson to support the grandfather.
Say again, it is halacha? Or just
it's not halacha, parents? Not halacha, but Lefnim Rishus Hadim, which means we go above and beyond the law, that sometimes we have to do what's right. I was with Rav Asher Weiss the past Thursday. There's a little conference with Rabbanim, and he was talking about different topics in halacha and business and medicine and business. And one of the things he was saying was about intellectual property and whether or not, from a legal standpoint, that's ownership or not ownership. And again, I don't know much about this at all, but certainly with my father-in-law, who is a lawyer, knows a lot more, maybe not his industry, but certainly more than I would know about any of these topics. But he was saying legally that intellectual property is considered property. And even though in different types, of course, patents and whatnot, and even though in halacha we may not consider it halachic ownership because there's no mamashis, there's nothing tangible to intellectual property, his understanding was that if we live in a day and age where an idea is worth more than a skyscraper, to quote him, and therefore if the government acknowledges it as being valuable, he feels that the Bezdin should also acknowledge intellectual property as being valuable as well. And even though we may not be able to bring proofs from the Gemara and Halacha that might be the case, he felt very strongly that we should view intellectual property as real ownership, and it would be subject to Gneva and Gzela. Now that's just a regular achas. Maybe we'll dedicate a different day when I have more time to research this, to talk about more applications, but that was an idea. But either way, we see sometimes that even though halachically certain things may not be the case, but we still have to implement the proper halacha based on society, based on derech eretz, based on midah. So this is really a halachic discussion. We're not chas v'shalom saying if my children ask the Zaydi for water, no, go get yourself. We're not recommending that, encouraging that.
It seems like nowadays, the minhag is at least, people have more respect for a grandparent than a parent.
Right.
But if you throw kids in,
Yeah, I wouldn't call that a minhag in regards. A minhag would be like today's daf. If you did today's daf already, with the machlokas, what bracha you say on water? Is it shihakol or do you say bor nefashos as the bracha rishona? So it's strange for us to think about, but there was a time, Rabbi Tarfon said, you say a bor nefashos on drinking water, before drinking water. The Gemara didn't know, what's the halach? How do you paskin? The Gemara says, pok chazi mai amadavar. Go see what the minhag is. So that's a minhag of how to establish halacha. I don't know if the chutzpah that our kids have towards parents will necessarily indicate that we should honor grandparents more than parents just because kids might show more respect to grandparents.
You don't but, have that
right. Right. So.
Is there any difference between grandparents and great-grandparents?
So we'll get to that, and we'll get to that great-grandparents in just a moment, yes. So let's talk about, so what is the machlokas in the end of the day? What's the nature of the machlokas, whether or not there is a requirement to honor grandparents or not? So it comes down to the following discussion. We said before, b'nei banim, harei hem kebanim, which means that my grandchildren are like my children themselves. My children honor me, my grandchildren honor me. It's a direct connection from me to my grandchildren. Or, do we say the requirement to honor a grandparent is because you have to honor your father? And since it brings kavod to my father, that I'm honoring his father, so then I need to honor my grandfather. Not because I have to honor my grandfather, it's because it's a way of showing honor to my own father. So just a few nafkaminas to bring this out. Let's say my father's molcha b'davar. So then I don't have to honor my grandfather if you assume it's only because it goes to my father. But it's directly to me because I'm my grandfather's child. Then what my father says has no bearing on my requirement. Or let's say a person's father passes away. He's not in the picture anymore. So then is there a requirement to honor the grandfather? Would be the same nafkamina. If it's only to show honor to the father, then only if the father's alive would it be a requirement. So this is really the machlokas hachakira that they explain. So just because Ezra asked the question, so when it comes to a great-grandfather, or a great-great-grandfather, if you're zocher to see a great-great-grandfather, is there a requirement to honor that great-great-grandfather? So they explain it connects to this very chakira. Because the concept of b'nei banim, hareim kebanim, seemingly on the surface only applies to grandchildren. It doesn't extend itself to grandchildren.
To
great-grandchildren. So if you take that that approach of b'nei banim, harem kebanim, so then one would not have a requirement to honor a great-grandfather or older. But if it's about showing honor to the father, so if I show honor to my grandfather, it gives my father kavod. If I show honor to my great-grandfather, it also gives my father kavod. So no matter how far along the chain you go, as long as it gives honor to my father, it will be a fulfillment. So that's some explain it connects to this chakira as well. Another nafkamina that's brought up, it's not nogeh, but there's a Gilyoni Ashas, of Yosef Engel, on his parish on the Gemara and Sota that we saw before, Daf Mem Tes. He says that if the requirement of kavod is because b'nei banim harem kebanim, that there's a direct connection of grandfather to grandchild, that if a grandfather passes away, he says, that, and he quotes from sources, there would be an inin v'velus. There should be a velus for the grandchild. And he quotes an opinion that there's a velus for the grandchild, like real velus. Kriya and sitting Shiva and everything, the whole nine yards.
If his father wasn't alive, or...
Even if the father wasn't alive, because it's a direct connection to the grandfather.
Going down.
Yeah. But we don't assume that. We assume there are a couple instances of some level of velus for the grandchild, but that's very low level, and seemingly it's only because of honor for the father. But we don't assume that way. But that would be another nafkmina as well. Or let's say a grandfather dies and there are no sons, or the sons aren't alive, or he only had daughters. So then there would be a particular inyan for the grandchild to say kaddish for the grandfather.
Male grandchild.
Because there is a sernichus that the grandson has over the grandfather. Now, what comes up interestingly is, let's say the grandfather dies and he has a daughter, and the daughter has a son. So the son has an inyan to say kaddish for the grandfather. Because the grandfather has no sons, he only has grandsons. But let's say that grandson could only say kaddish if he asks reshus from his own parents. You have to grant permission. It's a ayin hara. So what happens if the parents refuse to give him reshus? Would there be a mitzvah? Would there be a requirement? Would you be allowed to say kaddish in that instance?
And the din, you'd be breaking the honor of your parents.
Exactly. So it would depend on this question, perhaps, of breaking that honor between the parents.
Does it matter if the father saying kaddish for his father?
Say that again.
I'm saying, so here it's grandfather's mitzvah,
Right.
In Grandchild, but then this, the father has the first chiyuv to say Kaddish.
No, there's no, in this case, there's no son. There's only a daughter.
Oh.
There's only a daughter. So there's a son-in-law, but there's no son. So now the grandson wants to say it, so the din would be, so it becomes like a particular situation where there's a tension between the honoring your parent versus honoring your grandfather. Who should go first? Or let's say another case. Let's say you're in the same room as your father and your grandfather, and they both ask for a drink of water. So who do you give first? Or like who do you go give a hug and kiss to first? Who do you show honor to first? So I don't know. The father is a kavod. Even according to Rashi, Al Torah, who says there's a mitzvah of kavod of a grandfather, he still said the kavod of the father overrides the kavod of the grandfather. But wait a second. If my whole honor to honor my grandfather is to show honor to my father, that's not a steer anymore. By me giving water to my grandfather first, that itself is a keem of honoring my grandfather and my father at the same time. So maybe that's even better than honoring my father. Or no, does it show a lack of kavod to my father? So you have yesh v'yesh and all the poskim how to come out here.
Also the grandfather is clearly a
zaken. That's for sure.
Right? So there's like another mitzvah right. of the zaken. You don't have a father.
Right, but...
No,
let's say they're not. Let's say they're not. So you have a mitzvah, but that the cover to the zaken is not going to... It's a stam thing, it's general, but it won't override the honor to the one's own father. If I have my father in the room and I've been an 85-year-old man, so then my father gets the kavod. Unless my father's mochel b'davar, which could also be implicit. My father would say, why would you give me before you give the 85-year-old right, man dying in the car? So you have to also understand the mindset of one's father.
Yeah.
But these are all, of course, very relevant, relevant shilas.
Does it come to the saving? Chas v'shalom, if you have to save somebody, your father, grandfather?
Yeah. There's a Mishnah in the end of Maseches Horios talks about if a person's father, a Rebbe, or drowning, you save the Rebbe first. It's a strange thing, but because the father brought you to Olam Hazeh and the Rebbe brought you to Olam Haba. If the father's a Talmud Chacham also, and he's brought you to Olam Haba, so then you save the father first. But if it's a father and a grandfather, I would imagine, I don't know, I'd imagine the father would come first. I would imagine so, but I can't tell you based on any sources.
If the grandfather's a Talmud Chacham and the father's not, maybe?
It could also depend on, again, I don't know, the halacha is an age and also health, and you know, it comes to a question of giving kidneys to people who are perhaps older, won't live a long life, or younger. That might be like a relevant child as well. Who are you, should you save, like the 25-year healthy person? Let's say your grandfather is 95, got a couple years left, and you have a 25-year-old healthy friend, and they're both drowning. You could save one. Who should be saved first? I don't know the answer. But so now with a father and a grandfather, you know, the same thing. One's healthy, one's not. One's older, one's younger. One's got more time to live. So I don't know the answer. This is for maybe another shir, another Sunday morning we talk about this. But these are all very interesting questions. So let's finish with this last Torah Tumima, on the other side of the page. The Torah Tumima, he first brings, let's go the third paragraph, we're going to go backwards. So we're going to do the third paragraph and then we'll go to the second paragraph. The third paragraph, he brings an interesting raya from a halacha, V'ein mitzias svara kazu davar chadash. He's been pushing very much, the Torah Tumima, the idea of that one should certainly honor the grandfather. And it's not a chiddush to say to honor a grandfather. We find many, many posts when we talk about this with regards to the Gemara Brachos, we'll get to in around 11 days from now, Daphne and Dalid and the Daf Yomi. Let's say a person experienced a miracle. There's a din that whenever you pass that makom, you have to say a bracha. The truth is it applies even to a nes that took place to Am Yisrael. You know where exactly Yam Suf was split. There's a bracha of the Gemara, as you say, the bracha she'nase neis b'makom hazeh. And so if you experienced it yourself, wherever you were, that you say a bracha. Like I have a cousin who got into a very dangerous accident, like off a cliff or something, and it's fine. So I wonder if he has to say a bracha every time he goes to that place, b'makom she'nase neis b'makom hazeh. So depends how, what's a neis. And certain things are teva. People get in car accidents, and that's teva. A nace is like mamish a ganes. So, like,
I was going 65.
So we'll get to details now. Not for now. The custom poskim say hanal. The lo rak hu ba'atma, not only the individual himself who experienced the nace, ela filu b'no u'ben b'no, the child and the grandchildren as well. There's actually a chay adam, I think, at the end of the chay adam. The chay adam had a terrible story that his whole family was burnt in a fire. Terrible. He describes what took place there. And he was saved. And he made on that day like a Suda Soda. It's a strange, it's a, you know, it's mixed emotions, but that he was saved, he made a Suda Soda. and it was passed on. I think he writes that his children, his family, descendants should celebrate that day as a celebration that they were able, they lived from this fire. So there's a din that not only the individual himself has to say the bracha when he appears at such a place, but even the beno and bemino, even the grandchild, says the Gemara, needs to say such a bracha. The Talmud Rabbah, the reason why?
Even if they were alive beforehand, or they were born after the
year. Good, not sure. Good, very good question. I don't know. I'm not sure. Mishum damrinan b'medrash Rabbah, parshas Vayera, al pasuk im tishkar leva l'nini l'nechti, to me and to my son and my grandchildren, adkan. So we see rachme ha'ava ben, that the father has rachmanis on the child and even the grandchild, the dor shlishi. Vimken gam lehefach. So if the grandfather's got rachmanis on the grandchild, then also the opposite. The grandchild should have rachmanis and love for the grandfather. Rachme ben uben aben alavim. Ulefize, according to this, right to the Torah Tmima, mecheven shebemidos medaminan arche ben aben learche avi av, the grandchild to the grandfather. We are connecting these up and down directions, the generations. The grandchild should say a bracha. B'shem malchus, the location where his grandfather experienced an ace. Imkein mikol shekein l'inan kavod. He should certainly honor the grandfather. That's a very strong proof from the Torah Tmima. You should show honor. So now go back to the second paragraph of the Torah Tmima. We'll finish with this. So bechlal nira lomar al pi asvara. The chayv adam bechavod avi aviv. One must show honor to the grandfather. The mechazinan dal avi av chalachovas av gam bnei banim kamosh kasan. Now this is the raya, connects to yesterday's parsha. Ainly shechay bilimur haben ela aviv. I only know that the father needs to teach his son Torah. Avi aviv minayin. How do you know that the grandfather has a requirement to teach grandchildren? Tamalomar vodatim luvanecha uluvnei vanecha. The pasuk says in Veschanan to teach your children and your grandchildren. Such a beautiful thing. This, you know, this generation we have, that we have so many grandparents, that grandchildren learn with the grandparents. And I know, at least I know with you, with your son, Shlomo, learn with your father. They learned Mishnayos, they made Siyumim, they learned Laning. You can learn through the phone. So this is a kim of the Torah, the pasuk says, Vodatim levanecha, ulevnei vanecha. Vim kena svar note, it makes sense. The kemo al avi ahav. Just like the grandfather, not the chomer ha'av, leinin chinuch, he took upon the responsibility of being mechanech his grandchildren. There's a mitzvah chinuch on the grandfather as well. The grandchild also must take on that same severity. He should show that same respect to the grandfather as well. So we'll stop here, and Mitzvah Hashem will continue next week with maybe the honoring an older brother. We'll see.
Which direction?